Jehoshaphat, the king who believed God. Called to the throne at the age of 35, Jehoshaphat had the benefit of good King Asa's example. In nearly every crisis, Asa had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. 1 Kings 15, verse 11. During his own reign of 25 years, Jehoshaphat aimed to walk in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them. 1 Kings 22, verse 43. He tried to persuade his subjects to take a firm stand against idol worship. Many in his realm offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. 1 Kings 22, verse 43. From the beginning, the king tried to safeguard Judah from the sins that characterized the northern kingdom under Ahab. Jehoshaphat did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. The Lord was with him, and established the kingdom in his hand. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3-5. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. As time passed, the king removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Verses 5-6. And the rest of the perverted persons, who remained in the days of his father Asa, he banished from the land. 1 Kings 22, verse 46. In this way, he gradually freed the inhabitants of Judah from dangers that had threatened their spiritual development. Throughout the kingdom, the people needed instruction in the law of God. If they brought their lives into harmony with its requirements, they would become loyal both to God and to one another. Knowing this, Jehoshaphat took steps to see that his people received thorough instruction in the Holy Scriptures. By royal appointment, instructors went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 9. And, as many put away sin, a revival took place. Great gain comes from obeying God's law. If the teachings of God's Word were the controlling influence in the life of every man and woman, the evils that now exist in national and social life would disappear. From every home, an influence would go forth that would make men and women strong in spiritual insight and in moral power. For many years, the surrounding nations did not threaten Jehoshaphat. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah. Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. Men of war, mighty men of valor, served the king. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 10, 12-19. Blessed with riches and honor, 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1, he was able to exert a mighty influence for truth and righteousness. But at the height of his prosperity, Jehoshaphat consented to the marriage of his son Jehoram to Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. This union formed an alliance between Judah and Israel that in a time of crisis brought disaster to the king and to many of his subjects. On one occasion, Jehoshaphat visited the king of Israel at Samaria. The royal guest from Jerusalem was shown special honor, and Ahab persuaded him to unite with Israel in war against the Syrians. Ahab hoped that by joining with Judah, he might recapture Ramoth-Gilead, one of the old cities of refuge, which, he claimed, rightfully belonged to Israel. In a moment of weakness, Jehoshaphat rashly promised to join him against the Syrians. His better judgment, however, led him to seek the will of God concerning the matter. "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today," he asked Ahab. In response, Ahab called 400 false prophets and said, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" They answered, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." Verses 4-5. Unsatisfied, Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of him?" Verse 6. "There is still one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord," Ahab answered, "but I hate him, because he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." 1 Kings 22, verse 8. Jehoshaphat was firm in his request that they call the man of God. Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace." Verse 17. Jehoshaphat makes a mistake. Neither ruler felt like obeying the warning. Ahab had planned his course and was determined to follow it. Jehoshaphat had given his word, "We will be with you in the war." 2 Chronicles 18, verse 3. And after making such a promise, he was reluctant to withdraw his forces. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah went up to Ramoth-Gilead. 1 Kings 22, verse 29. During the battle that followed, Ahab was shot by an arrow and died. From this disastrous battle, Jehoshaphat returned to Jerusalem. The prophet Jehu met him with the reproof, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." 2 Chronicles 19, verse 2, 3. Jehoshaphat spent his later years mostly in strengthening Judah's national and spiritual defenses. He went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Verse 4. One important step the king took was to establish efficient courts of justice. He set judges in the land, and in the instructions given them he urged, "Take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. With the Lord our God there is no partiality, nor taking of bribes." Verses 5-7. The king called on the judges of the appeals court at Jerusalem to be faithful. "Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord. The Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good." Verse 11. In safeguarding the rights and liberties of his subjects, Jehoshaphat stressed the fact that every member of the human family receives from God, who rules over all. Those who are appointed to act as judges under him are to defend the poor and fatherless, and do justice to the afflicted and needy. Psalm 82, verse 3. Armies that threatened to destroy Judah. Toward the close of Jehoshaphat's reign, the people of Moab with the people of Ammon came to battle against Jehoshaphat. News of this invasion reached the king through a messenger, who appeared with the startling word, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, 2. Jehoshaphat was a man of courage. For years he had been strengthening his armies and fortified cities. He was well prepared to meet almost any enemy. Yet in this crisis, he did not put his trust in human strength. Only by a living faith in God could he hope to gain the victory over these heathen who boasted of their power to humble Judah in the eyes of the nations. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Standing in the temple court before his people, Jehoshaphat poured out his soul in prayer. "O Lord God of our fathers, do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Verses 3, 4, 6, 7, 10-12. For years Jehoshaphat had taught the people to trust in the one who had so often saved his chosen ones from destruction, and now he did not stand alone. All Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Verse 13. Unitedly they pleaded with the Lord to put their enemies to confusion. "O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. Even now your enemies are in tumult. They say, 'Come, let us wipe them out as a nation.' Against you they make a covenant. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace. Let them know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth." Psalm 83, NRSV. As the people joined with their king in humbling themselves before God, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, a Levite, and he said, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, For the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 to 17. A battle won by a choir singing. Early in the morning, as they advanced into the wilderness of Tekoa to battle, Jehoshaphat said, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness. Verses 20-21. These singers went before the army, lifting their voices in praise to God for the promise of victory.
It was a most unusual way of going to battle, singing and exalting the God of Israel. This was their battle song. They possessed the beauty of holiness. Wouldn't more praising of God strengthen the hands of the valiant soldiers who are standing in defense of truth today? The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Verses 22-23. God was Judah's strength in this crisis, and he is the strength of his people today. We are not to trust in princes or to set anyone in the place of God. In every emergency, we are to feel that the battle is God's. His resources are limitless. Apparent impossibilities will make the victory all the greater. Loaded down with plunder, the armies of Judah returned with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem, with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets, to the house of the Lord. Verses 27-28. They had put their trust completely in God, and he had proved to be their fortress and deliverer. Now they could sing with understanding the inspired hymn of David. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46, verse 1-9-11. Through the faith of Judah's ruler and of his armies, the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 29-30.